and I'm going to start out first, turn it over to Mr. Sharp.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. That'll be on the Supreme Court's decision of the Board of Adjustment.
Yes, there was a decision that came out early last month, actually just before our last hearing. I had time to review the case and circulate it with a memo to the board members as well as to members of the Planning and Zoning Department and to Todd Lawson. Rick Burrell had argued this case. It was the Board of Adjustment versus Verlason and Kotowski. If I mispronounce any of those names, I apologize.
You will.
the board had denied a variance application, an area variance application, and it was appealed to the Superior Court, and the Superior Court overturned this board's decision. That decision was then appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court reversed and supported the board's initial decision. The basis of that, and this has been somewhat of a contention, you've probably seen it over the years with some of the cases, there was a case in New Castle County called Quick Check, and it was the seminal case in a lot of variance application cases, and it dealt with the exceptional practical difficulty, especially as it pertains to a balancing test where you would balance the harm to the applicant versus the neighboring properties. The main difference that the court cited, and give much credit to Rick Burrell for this, he went back and looked at the statutes, in particular the New Castle County statute versus the Sussex County statute, and they're different. The one thing that's different in Sussex is that here, if the applicant has created the difficulty, then they aren't entitled to the relief. That is something that is not in the New Castle County statute. The opposing party had argued that the intent was that they would be similar or mirror images, but the court dismissed that argument and found that essentially the statute is clear. So when you are reviewing the variance application standards, that's, again, something to keep in mind are those factors that you have gone over with your applications for some time. But at this point, we do not – the quick check test has basically been found not to apply here in Sussex. So it's a fairly important decision. It's one that I've there's folks that attorneys that I've seen that I know practicing here. I've made them aware of that so that they can – advise their clients that come before the board, you know, of that. So, but I did want to make this a point to bring up to the board because I think it's an important decision. Anytime you have the Supreme Court make a decision on one of our cases, it's important. And this one, it does change some things. So
they did uphold our decision.
They upheld the original decision of the board.
That we made. That's good.
Is there any more appealing that can happen, or is that final?
That's final.
Okay, yeah, I just was wondering that. Okay.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about an open session. If it was still potentially ongoing litigation, okay, we would not be able to do that.
Right, okay.
So the Board of Adjustment lacks the authority to grant a variance where the applicant failed to show that he did not create the exceptional practical difficulty. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, that's it.
Technically.
I was going to say.
If it's appealed. Challenged.
Appealed. And that's what happened here. It went here to the...
Yeah, I believe in this case, the gentleman was...
Could you tell me the case? I'd like to hear what the case was.
If my understanding, and the court, and I didn't go back, at least tonight, I looked back a few weeks ago at the Superior Court case, which discussed more of the facts. The Supreme Court case did not delve into the facts as much, but to keep it short and sweet, the applicant had put a patio or barbecue area, okay, and the board denied that.
Right.
And then when he came up here at the hearing, before the board denied it, one of the questions I believe Chairman Calloway asked it as, haven't shown where, you know, did you address this factor, which was that you created it? And he goes, no, I created it. I mean, he admitted it when he was at the podium. And I think that was what was a real crux in that. He didn't meet that hurdle. You know, he didn't clear it. So because he didn't clear it, the board rightfully rejected it. Mm-hmm. And I think they also looked at another factor in there as well, but that was the main thing. So when he didn't meet the burden.
Okay. That was down there in Rehoboth, the gentleman that put that
barbecue creative.
Up. Yeah. Do you remember that one?
He wasn't even
the two fellas did.
Yeah.
Real nice barbecue pit, and I asked him that.
I just wanted to know what the case was.
Yeah, that was the one. That was good.
Okay, there was additional request in that variance, wasn't there?
There was.
I can't remember what the additional.
Barbecue was like off to the one side, and there was a shed,
pool area, yeah. Right?
Bar too, something.
Bar.
Yeah,
I believe so.
And I noticed this evening when I was coming over here that the copy that I submitted to you, I think, missed every other page because it was a front and back copy. So if you need the odd numbered pages, please let me know, and I'll direct them to you. I think Mr. Burl may have sent a copy over as well. Yeah, so
I just appreciate you explaining that. That's why I wanted you to put it on the agenda so we would.
And I thought it was important that we discuss that in open session so that the public is aware of it as well.
Oh, most definitely.
Jamie, my son works at just a side thing. My son works at Marquette University, and you know all these college professors and everything say, "Do not make capital letters. That means shouting." That's what they teach. They teach when you. I said, "You got to be kidding me!" And when I typed, I always put capital letters because it's a lot easier to put caps on than, you know.
Looks more professional. Yeah.
But do you ever hear that?
I have.
Have you really?
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Capital letters mean you're
text when you text.
I've been adapting.
It means shouting. Is that correct?
Yeah, when you
if I have a client that sends me an email and it's in capital letters, I assume they're not happy about something.
Yeah, okay, that's the point.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Never heard that.
I'm doing that then all the time now to people, and then they'll leave me alone then. I want somebody to talk to me, right?
Don't bet they'll leave you alone, though.
No, they won't leave me alone. All right. Well, thank you for that, Jamie.
You're welcome, Mr. Chair.
I appreciate that. Okay, next I had up, is there any members that's got any questions or anything would like to discuss? You know, I brought up your procedure for the Board of Adjustment, anything?
I think,
2 minutes?
You know, it's just, I'm a young guy on the block, but I think we're doing doing what we should be doing. I mean, of course, now Jamie can add to that. I think we're given reasons now why we're approving or disapproving.
It makes my job a lot easier. Mm-hmm. If when and I commend you all for doing this, that when you give your when you make your votes, you give adequate reasons for them, address the factors and the reasons for them. It will allow the decisions to be firmer and mm-hmm. More than likely when it comes up for a vote. But it is something that is definitely makes my job easier, and I think there's been I've seen an improvement in that in many ways, but I think that's something you guys have been doing for a long time as well. The one thing that we did, I think we had discussed at one point at one of our, I think my first hearing when we turned over from Rick, was the idea of having attorneys go first. I know that had been something the board had considered, and we tried it with one hearing, but one of the problems we ran into was that some of the attorneys weren't necessarily here because they didn't know about that potential change, and there was some discussion about whether members of the public would have a concern with that as well. And I didn't know if that was something that, you know, given we've put this on the agenda tonight, it would be something to discuss about how the board would like to use that going forward.
Yeah, that was one thing I had to, after you got done, I was going to bring up. I'd heard, you know, a couple of attorneys kind of felt uncomfortable with it. Like you said, you know, they didn't have their people here or didn't know about it. But then also with the people coming in, you know, in here into the county, filling them out, would it be better if you did it in the office, or, you know, do you do it? Is it still be considered a first come, first serve, whoever comes in, or would it be something that the office would do instead of doing it here from the public?
Because you have people that are coming from far away, too.
From Arlington, Virginia, or we have them come from, wherever it may be.
I think the reason Everett Moore made that suggestion to the board was twofold.
Right.
One was the attorneys are there, and typically they're billing by the hour. Folks who've applied have already put out a good amount of money,
right?
And that's an additional expense. But the bigger reason, I think, that he put that up there was that so that the members of the public who are coming before, and a lot of folks that come up haven't been in front of this board before, and it's a way for them to show, to see what they need to present, and that they need to meet these standards and perhaps become a little more comfortable with the process rather than being the first one to go in front of, in some cases, a large room. Again, that was his suggestion, and as a way to perhaps as a way of a course to help this go more smoothly. But ultimately, that's the board's decision. I would say that if the board wanted to continue doing that, what I would suggest would be that there be something on the application noting that if there's an attorney, who it is. That way we could put them on there first, because I think once it's published and on the internet for everyone to see, folks will make that, okay, I'm going to be early on the agenda or I'll be later. The other thing that could help is if I could send a letter to the Bar Association or an email out. We've got a pretty active email group that we use for our Bar Association announcements, and that could be something that's sent out through those means, and I'm sure that would make a lot of the attorneys aware of the new procedure if that's what the board wanted to do.
Right. Well, that's how I'm going to bring it out in discussion, let the board think on it, and, you know, you could...
Think
on it, bring it back.
Stipulation in there of the lawyers we like and the lawyers we don't like.
I knew that was coming.
No, I think.
But how's this going to be handled? The office is going to do it,
you know,
or we do it here.
I agree with it.
We did a. The big issue that we had was that applicants weren't prepared to address the standards. I think that's improved, you know, now that they have to sign the form that says, I understand this.
Right.
I think that on occasion, you know, we see where an applicant's not prepared, and so we allow them some more time to come back at a later date, and, you know, for that reason, that purpose. I'm not disagreeing that it's a good idea, but I don't think that anybody that comes here is going to be any more prepared if an attorney goes before them or not. I think that, you know, some people may be offended that, you know, an attorney gets to go before them. So personally, I'm not 100% for that, but I understand the reasoning. I think that, you know, regardless, people are going to be prepared or they're not, and, you know, to see a procedure.
I agree with you, John. I think there is an issue.
Ahead of time, we can schedule it.
Yeah.
You could, right, your agenda could be changed.
You can do it in there, but...
And the lawyer will understand that he is here on the agenda, so to speak, okay? And it is an issue, an hourly rate to the person that's here with a lawyer. That's an issue to be dealt with.
Oh, yeah, not be taken lightly.
But
public saying, you know, why it should be first come. I mean, I've heard that, you know, it should be, first come serve. But they don't understand.
If we did it in the office, like,
right?
We took who's the lawyer and Sue scheduled them as that, so the lawyer would know. Do you think
like when they file and if we know there is an attorney?
Then you could do it at that time.
You can adjust the agenda.
Yes. They could adjust it in the
And office. I think it would be better done that way as opposed to, you know, some
doing it here.
People.
Yeah.
Right.
I think, Mr. Mills, what I had envisioned was that when folks submit their application, they would note on their attorney, so-and-so would represent them. Mm-hmm. And then when Susan's making the agenda and has it scheduled, with that first one that comes out, as opposed to it being 10,001, 10,002, 10,003, it might be 10,003, 10,006, 10,009, 10,001, 2,000,
okay.
Because 6, 3, 6, and 9 may have attorneys representing them.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll show in there. Now, if someone after the fact ends up having an attorney represent them but didn't note it on their form, well, you know, that's kind of, you know, That's the way the mop flops.
Mm-hmm.
But it would at least allow those who are knowing in advance they're up there. And at the same time, it kind of gets that on the agenda so that everybody can see it and make plans to be there at that time. The concern that I had were if we just did it where whoever the attorney is here and then we change it, is that, you know, folks do listen to it on the internet and they may have looked at the agenda and say, wow, we're pretty late, I'll come an hour later.
Right.
And not be there and then find out that they've missed it. Whether that's members of the public or another attorney or opposition or supporters, whomever. So I think it would be easier if it was handled in the office, if that's the route the board wanted to take.
That's my concern. I think if the office can do it, no problem to the office. I think that would be better for everybody concerned. Because if we do it out here, as you just said, you know.
99% of the time, the attorney is doing the application anyway.
Yeah, right.
So we already pretty much know.
Right. That's what I mean. If you can do it, there's no extra work with you.
But we do have situations like tonight. We had two applications where both were represented by counsel. One of them had it noted on there. The other did not.
And the other did.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And John.
There are those cases.
I know by fact that I've asked that also, that they are pursuing that in the planning and zoning office. They are continuing to try and get the applicant to answer that questionnaire over and over and over. I know you're trying.
We're doing our best to make them understand that they must come prepared.
Sure. I think it's improved.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's on a rare occasion that we get someone that just...
They didn't listen.
Just don't want to.
Right. Just give me the paper, I'll sign it.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to Mr. Lang tonight. I would think that. Was there anything else that, you know, that we could do, we as a board and as the office? I mean, the office is doing... I got to give them credit, Bud and Susan, not all of them, and they always have for the office, been behind them, and they've done everything they can. And when they checked that off, which was 6 months ago, or maybe 8 months ago, they had on that little, Rick, I think, got it done, we checked on the bottom of it, where they received it and they've gotten it. Because
mm-hmm.
we've had some upper say, well, I never got it, but well, they do get it. And Lawrence said,
they must sign it, or we cannot accept the application.
So I just wanted that to be brought. There's nothing else we really can do. I wanted to see if there was. Maybe if they could, you know, fill them out, when you got the application, or get them to us sooner. They do get them, but Lawrence said there's really nothing else that we can do to help them. You know, and it's really
you can lead a horse to water. You can't always make them drink it.
Answer
the questions to help them with.
Because when they come, they have 2 months to prepare.
Sure.
So and that's on them, in our opinion.
Sure.
You have 2 months to answer these questions and come up with.
I wanted to try and do anything else we could to help them. And, you know, I think we have, but there's nothing else that we can do. I know we had the meeting out to the annex. You know, some of them said it was just black and white, but then when we had talked to Mr. Vincent and Mr. Cole, we'll try to help them, but there's nothing else the office can do. So I did want to bring that out tonight. I did pursue it, and I met with Mr. Lank tonight. But I want to help the public in any way we can, but there's nothing else we can do.
But you guys are
but he did say we could leave it open, like, you know, we did the last time. I asked the board to do that.
I think you did one in December like that.
I think
I've
done three now, and that did help that couple. And they came back 2 weeks later, and they were, I mean, you take a couple comes in, it's hard.
They're much better prepared.
They were much better, and that's what I like to see. So we can leave them open, which is good, to be able to help the public in any way we can. That's about all that I had.
I think I had asked Mr. Burrow, and I also verified that with Susan, that you can't, I was under, you know, the impression that I'd say, well, you can't have this variance unless you make this out. Well, you can't do that.
No.
We can say you can't have this variance if you can't prove that you meet the burden.
Mm-mm.
Well, that's here.
Right.
That's here. Right.
Right.
But you can't do that in the office.
The problem that we had with the first form is people were coming in, they were going, was it created by the applicant? No. Was it, you know, were there yes and no answers? And, you know,
and we
so,
have it on the application, no yes, no answers.
Right.
Yeah.
At least in the thing that they sign, it says you have to, you know, you have to, convince the board.
Convince the board.
That, you know, you meet these standards. And that's a little more clear, I think, than just, you know, yes and no.
Well, this is one that's with it that I brought a copy. The way that it's done, I don't know how it can be any plainer. And it says, it's an important notice for variance applicants. In order for the Sussex County Board of Adjustment to grant a variance, you must demonstrate to its members that the property in question meets all the following criteria. And if they've got this, what else can we do to help them?
And they signed it.
And they have signed, yeah, around the bottom, it's got, here's one just, I wrote in like Dean Smith, the signature and the date, and you got print your name, sign it, and there it is right there. And it says, I have read and understand this notice and would like to apply for a variance hearing with the Sussex County Board of Adjustment. So I don't know what else the office can do or we can do, but still I want to try to help.
I'm sure my colleagues here are doing the same thing. I'm trying to listen as they're presenting them.
Right.
I'm trying to listen and say, okay, is, you know, are you doing this? Is it, are you creating your own?
Right.
And I think maybe we're getting somewhere, like John said, we're getting somewhere.
Oh, it's getting better.
Some of them are saying, you know, I didn't create this.
No.
You know, so all of a sudden, something came through.
Yeah, well, it's gotten a lot better, but.
And, you know, let's face it, 90% of the time, unless you're creative, you don't meet, they don't meet the standards.
That's correct.
But if they are, like we're hearing now, you know, that, you know, we bought the house later, someone, you know, someone else built it and we didn't create it. Well, you know, we weren't hearing that before.
No, you just had yes or no on the question. But no, it has gotten a lot better, and I just hope to keep it that way. And again, because our job is to help the public any way we can, and I think we certainly strive our best.
Our job.
But there's nothing else the office can do, and I commend them in there, as I always have, all of them in there.
I've always contended our job is to.
They've done good.
Enforce Chapter 115, but also we're supposed to, you know, give relief to people that really, really need it.
Most definitely. Yeah, give the relief that we can to the people that need it, definitely. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's all that that I had, unless anyone else. Mr. Hudson, do you have anything?
No, sir.
Mr. Mills?
Nope.
Okay, then hearing nothing else.
Well, Mr. Chairman, are we going to keep it the status quo for these applications with the attorneys, or are we going to have something in the office?
Something in the office. I think that would work.
The application.
Yeah. I think that would work better, do you not?
I think that would.
That way, well, they would know, I guess. It would be better than you could do it. I mean, like you said, you go 10,000, 3, 6, 9, 12, or whatever. Whatever works for you.
Representation by an attorney or something will come up.
Yeah, it's not gonna get them an earlier hearing date, but it'll just make them earlier on the agenda.
And then you'll send something out through the association.
So, no, there won't be a numerical order. It'll just be, you know. Whatever.
I'm sorry?
Cases are not going to be in numerical order.
Oh, no, no, they can't be.
There's only 10 cases per, and it's not. We have 1 through 10 cases per hearing. But they don't get it in order anyway because we're waiting for somebody and they may get bumped.
Right,
so
right.
That won't delay you in any way. I mean, it'll be, well, that's fine. If that'll work for you all, that I think it's a good idea. Just as long as we can do it in there and, you know. Because like you said, the night we had two.
And then we tell them it's a tentative date. They'll get a, you know, a.
Oh, when they come in, it's just a tentative date that you give them.
It's a tentative date. It should be, but it's tentative, but you'll get, you know,
final.
A letter in the mail explaining the time and date.
Great.
Date and time.
I appreciate that.
It doesn't say if they're first, second, third, either on the agenda. So.
Well, that, I think that'll work out better.
The lawyers ask that.
Well, I think.
Oh, God.
I think
or am I on the
whatever
agenda?
Way that we, the agenda states, I, you know.
That's just what it is.
It'd be better.
I think that would, yeah, because the change here at the beginning of the meeting doesn't it's not going to suit some people well.
But again, as long
especially if you're, you know, anticipating that you're, you know, the second one on the agenda, and you arrive here and find out that you're not, that you've been bumped.
You've been bumped, right?
Yeah.
Or you're first and you're bumped to fourth because there's three attorneys.
Exactly.
No. Long been keeping be as fair as we have been to the public and help
we stick
them
to the agenda. It's fine.
Yeah, I think if you've done them in the office and then like tonight we have one that was on there and one that wasn't. The one that was on there, they go whenever their thing was, and the one that was on there, will they get?
Mm-hmm.
On the agenda, as you know, when you've put out the agenda, because you know that they're represented by an attorney.
Exactly.
Great. Okay. There being no further business before the board, we'll be open for adjournment. Do I have a motion?
A motion that we adjourn, sir.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And we have a motion by Mr. Rickards and second by Mr. Mills that the meeting be adjourned, subject to call. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Meeting is now adjourned, subject to call.
That's true.
Thank